To each one gathered here this morning, I'm happy to be here and to worship with you. And another, can we say, a beautiful Lord's Day. It's winter time. We had a discussion sometime recently with someone about should they have snow, and then they were remarking how they were glad it wasn't snowing. And well, we take each day as the Lord gives to us, and we're thankful for it. And all the more so as you come to the Lord's house that we are able to worship Him. And I didn't know when I was studying for this message that Brother Nelson was going to put a special offering announcement on the announcement broadcast. Didn't know that there was maybe going to be a special plea for that need there. But if you find that it applies to it, the message applies to it, make sure you think about it. This message was started out as a message I preached down at in Phillips Creek area. it was Christmas, and I preached a Christmas message about the giving at Bethlehem, and I was thinking about giving. And so this morning we're going to look at giving, only this time it's going to be about the offering plate that goes around. Because I don't know that I ever preached on it. And it's kind of one of those subjects that maybe like in a marriage, if you want to know where contention happens, it's usually about money. Unless there's a lot there, but either way. But you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. There is a springboard I want to look at for the title. And we're going to look at this passage here some, and we're going to turn to other passages. And just think about it. Why do we pass the offering plate? We went to had the instruction class, and we came to the point about what's proper to do on the Lord's Day. And one of the proper things to do is to pass an offering plate and to lift an offering. And we grew up with that. We don't think second about it usually. But maybe it could be confusing to the children. I mean, your parents don't go to the store and buy things on Sunday, but all of a sudden, Sunday morning, your dad is okay to write a check and put a check in the offering plate. Well, it's okay to do that. It's the first day of the week. If you take your calendar and you look at it, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it starts at first day is Sunday, and we call it the Lord's Day, and it's a special day that we gather together. And Paul writes and says he wants an offering to be gathered. And so we'll look at that verse later on in the message. But 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so the title of the message this morning is God Loves a Cheerful Giver. Someone that does it cheerfully. Now, I want to make another disclaimer before we get real far into this message. This message is in no way reflecting a need in the congregation here. I'm not preaching this because I feel there's a need. As we came through the new year and our brother looked at that in devotions anew, New Year, as I thought of a new year starting, I look back over the past years. I feel unworthy for the giving I have received from you. And I want to say thank you, and God bless you for your giving. But we live in a land of ease, and we can so easy for myself, and I'm trusting for you to lose focus on the important things of life and start to live selfishly, live for self. And one of those areas that it shows up in, one of the areas, there's many more. One of the areas is how willing we are to give. A few things to think about. I have 7 points at the end of the message, but a
few things I want to think about before I get to them. What does it take to be a giving person? What does it take for me to be a giving person? It takes an outward look. It takes living beyond or looking beyond self. Someone that looks out for self as number one, lives for self, will find it hard to give, to see opportunities to give. Be willing to give. They'll find it hard to be willing to give. And they'll also find that they'll find it hard to see that they have the means to give. You see, I'm balancing the checkbook and it's so tight. I need it for living. What else does it take to be giving people? We must acknowledge how God gave to man. How God gives to us today. How does God give to you and I? He gives willingly, cheerfully, generously, freely. Why? To you and I, he gives it that. Why does he do that? Because that's God. He's generous. That's just how he is. And when we acknowledge how God gives to man, to you and I, it will in turn inspire in us to be a giving person. Or it should. The second thought before we get to our points is, what should be the inspiration for us to give? And highlighting a little more on who God is, how he gave to us. And we must realize what God gives to us. And let's look at about a few things that God gives to us. And what should be an inspiration for us to give. First one I have as I think about that is salvation. Look at Jesus when he was here on earth. What did he do? He gave himself in so many ways. Healing for the sick, love for the unlovely, light for those in darkness, peace for those in turmoil, salvation and forgiveness to the sinful. Jesus was just a giving person. No, it wasn't money. It wasn't in the offering plate. But he gave and gave and gave. It was worth money in the offering place. Plus, because you see, as he was going around giving to others, healing the sick, he couldn't hold a job. He was giving money. And his ultimate price, salvation and forgiveness to the sinful. He provided salvation. That's what he came to do, and he filled it. He gave it to us at the cost of his life. Story later. But you think about that in this part of the message as well. She gave of her living. Have you and I given of our living? Jesus gave his life. But we find it hard to even give up the comforts of life. Let's look at Jesus and what he has given for us. It should inspiration for us to give. Well, Jesus didn't just quit giving then. God didn't just quit giving then. He gave the Holy Spirit. And as that Holy Spirit, the Comforter, lives in us and lives within us, it should inspire us to, because he gave us something. And it's worth a lot. Or you can think of the more practical areas, health, strength. What would you pay today? What would you pay today for your health? Young man, what would you pay for your strength? What if you lost all strength and you couldn't get out of bed in the morning? Well, God gives us everything. And he gives us our health. He gives us our strength. Yes, we can take all the vitamins. You can take all the health, whatever you want to say. But it's God that gives you health and strength. gives you everything that you need to go out and work. I'd like to go to Second Corinthians, go back to chapter 6. There is so much that Paul was writing to the Corinthians here, and I struggled on how to take this because there's so much content that he wrote about giving and money giving, but I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye also receive not the grace of God in vain. We recognize that God has given us everything. And we recognize in this verse that God has given grace, salvation that I talked about. There's things that we should be doing today. What we talked about this morning should be a part of that work, the fact of giving money or giving of time, which equals money. In our Sunday school this morning, number 3, I didn't think about how close number 3 ties in to what I was going to share. What spiritual sacrifices can you offer up to God today? I can remember in my growing up years and times past when there would be a tragedy, a barn fire, tornado, or loss of life. I can remember those times of when the neighbors all gathered together, whether it was an Amish barn and the Amish would come and have a barn raising. It happened to our neighbor. I think it was 3 times. The Amish came in and built a barn, and wasn't but probably a couple years later after that, a lightning storm took it out again. And they came in and built on the same spot again. And the impact it had on the neighbors, I remember that as a young man. There's also some times when in that time of building there for that Amish barn, I remember there was the news media came in and of course they didn't want pictures of it, but I do know that there's the one picture that I've found around in Wayne County, Ohio, of an Amish barn raising. I could take you to the spot of it. But it made an impact. The neighbors looked on and they saw a brotherhood. They saw a group of people that are pulling together. Why? Because they are united in serving God and they have given themselves to serve God, and it pulls them together as a brotherhood in giving to one another. Here to tell you that what we're talking about this morning is something an insurance company does not give. In fact, I probably shouldn't tie in my personal experience, but did a hit a deer recently and I turned it into the insurance company because, well, the plan they have us on has deer coverage, and all of a sudden they want to drop us from their plan. No relationship. I have yet to feel the brotherhood do that. But why am I saying this? The impact that this has on neighbors is what we were talking about in Sunday school in number 3. A spiritual sacrifice we can offer to God. The neighbors see it and it's what draws them. They don't have that relationship. They don't have that closeness. And so what do they have to turn to but insurance company or life insurance? Are we thankful for our brotherhood? Are we thankful for the offering plate that goes around? And are we willing to do our part to help the brotherhood? I'm going to read a little bit from our decrees for to keep. It's under the title Brotherhood and Mutual Assistance and Deacon Work. On the national scene, there is a rise of socialism where the individuals trust more and more in the government to meet their needs. The product of that is that eventually one has greater faith in man than in God. The ultimate test arises in Revelation 13, 17, where all economic commerce is tied to identification with the beast and false prophets. There's so much more to read there in this account. In light of the truths that were shared before, we feel it is very important that the Pilgrim Mennonite Conference rise to her God-appointed opportunity in promoting the true brotherhood in this materialistic age. We do not favor an approach that is merely another insurance organization with some modifications, but rather we wish to follow the Bible way of caring for and sharing with one who is in need. And so there's some outlines that is given in there for giving and how we want to run it. But I want to think about a number of different ones. And the 7 points I have, I titled this, Scriptural Rules for Giving. What must we consider when we look at giving, when the offering plate comes around? What are some things? Why do we do that? What are some things that should take impact us as we do that? And so we have a number of scriptures, and I don't think we're going to all turn to them. But what I'm going to do is there's a couple here I'm going to hand out, and I would like you as lay brothers to read them for us. And so the first one I have is someone to take Proverbs 3:9. Anyone willing to do that? 3:9. Jerry? All right. Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Okay, Andrew? Acts 11:29. All right, Marlon. All right, we're going to stop with those for right now. The first one is that verse there in Proverbs 3:9. So we're looking at scriptural rules for giving. What should be a basis for that? And so go ahead and read that, Proverbs 3:9. All right, thank you for that. What is the first one I have? It's of the first fruits. Does that mean that the first one is scrubby and not good? No. It means it's the best. I think often of the first fruits, you know, that comes to strawberry season. I love strawberries. I remember growing up, we'd run out to the strawberry patch when it was time, and oh, they might not even be quite all red, but they were still worth eating. That's what comes to my mind as I think of first fruit. It's giving the best. Well, you'd really like for yourself, but you give it because God deserves it. That verse says also, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. And so the substance is everything you have. Give it to him and offer it as a first fruit. You can take that substance and you can use your what you own or what you say you own and realize it's God's and you're using it to serve God. And I've heard brethren that said that, you know, I'm just here. It's not mine. It's God's. Sure, you can borrow it. Well, let's think about that. As we have the scripture rules for giving, let's give of our first fruits. All right, let's go to the second one. Let's read Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Scriptural rules for giving. I have one for this one, according to income. This is a time, there was three feasts that were mentioned in verse 16. Three times the men of Israel were to come and to worship the Lord their God, to a place of worship. And they were not to come empty-handed. It says, every man shall give as he is able. Now for some of us, it would change. You think about those people of Israel versus us today. There's different levels of income. Every man shall give as he is able. But it's a Bible principle, scriptural rules for giving. They were called to give as they were able. All right, let's read that Acts 11:29 and think about that thought about according to income. Go ahead. All right, so here we have in the new church being formed, there was a famine in Jerusalem. And they're saying there, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, gave, sent, back. I see with this that they were concerned about the brethren that were in Jerusalem. You know, there was a church there where they're at. But no, they wanted to help out beyond. According to income. Now I want to tie this, number two, the second point, I want to tie it kind of into the third point I have. And that is, the third one is give willingly and freely. And so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians for this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to as he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now that at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And so we could keep reading there. There's, again, I said 2 Corinthians has much to say about giving. But what I want to pull out as I think about this willingly and freely, think about verse 12. If there be first a willing mind. Now we said the second point was according to income. But did you ever think about it? Maybe it's just me, but the income can go up and my cost of living goes up with it. Maybe it's because I don't have a willing enough mind to give. Now I want to use it for myself. Must be first a willing mind. For us to give, and it's a scriptural rule for giving, we must be give willingly and freely with a willing mind. Now I want to jump back to verse 2 of the same passage, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. How that a great, let's just start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on us, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Let's keep reading there. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. And there's much to read there. But as I think of that, of this verse 2, here's these brethren that had a great trial of affliction. And it goes on to say, in their deep poverty, I don't know what they experienced. I'm just reading what's there. Verse 2 is packed so tightly with how these people gave. It was willingly and freely. All of that, what is found there, those two things I highlighted in verse 2, would stand deeply in contrast to someone that gives, humanly speaking. I mean, they're in poverty. They have great trial of affliction, but they have an abundance of joy. Well, it all stands in contrast to someone that would give. But what I see in this verse, those who have experienced need in the past often are ones that can be understanding of the need and give according to the need. Found in my own life, if you ever go through a trying time where the ends don't reach around, and then you also would hear of someone else that can't make ends meet reach around, it's you can understand, you can sympathize with them, you can understand what they need. And I see in verse 3, as these people have experienced that, they've experienced deep poverty of their power, bear record, yeah, and beyond their power. They're just willing to give. Do what they can. I see in this a need of willingness to give of themselves, willing to give of themselves, proportionally of themselves to the needs of others. We're willing to cut back with a little bit of less steak on the table so we can have a little more because they don't have anything to eat over there. So we're going to eat something a little cheaper here so we can send there. Or you put in there what it is. I'm just trying to get your mind stirring about where I'm going with it. Willing to cut themselves of what of a need or... Yeah, I want to keep it a need, not a want. Because today we get mixed up in that. They're willing to give of their needs, not just their wants. I also see in verse 3 here as they're giving willingly and freely. They were giving was strictly voluntary. The disciples didn't come to them and said, "You need to give so much." It was strictly voluntary. Someone want to read Matthew 10:8. Luke 6:38. Michael? All right, if you have that, Matthew 10:8, let's go ahead and read that. Let's give you a little context of this before he reads it. In this verse, right before that, Jesus is sending the 12 disciples out. He's sending them out to heal, help the sick, raise the dead. I don't want to read the verse there, but he's sending the 12 out. And so let's read verse 8 now. All right, I want to think about a little bit as we think about giving willingly and freely. Here is the 12 going out. They have received what Jesus was giving to them freely. The same is true for you and I. Yes, you might put sweat into the paycheck you get, but remember who gave you the health for it? Who gave you the strength to go out and work and get a paycheck? God gives it freely. You don't come home from work, at least I hope not. You know, we might come home exhausted, but we don't just get home and can't make it into the house because we ran out of energy. No, we have enough to get in. We can go on and we still made our paycheck. Freely give. God gives it freely to you, your health. And the same with the disciples as he gave to them what the people needed, and he gave it freely to them, they could go out and share with the people about it. And they received it freely, and they were to freely give. I like to think about it this morning. Freely giving means that I'm going to give without strings attached to it. When I give it to God, when I realize it's God's and He has given me everything that I own, He has given me the strength to gain what I have, or what I call my own, we turn around and we give it freely. And we don't do it with strings attached. When we give it, it is gone. It is not our own anymore. And so can we give that way? Scriptural rules for giving. I believe that we should do it that way, or we need to do it that way. Same as Jesus commanded the disciples in giving healing to those about them. All right, Luke 6:38. All right, thank you. Do you see the willingly and freely giving? And what happens? What happens? All of a sudden, when you give freely and good measure, it ties back into the people seeing Christ at work in your life. And it leaves a witness. But we need to give that way, willingly, freely. Let it go to those out and be that witness. And it'll turn around and come back and bless you. Maybe not in the way you think it will be, but it will be there. God's going to measure that same back to you, whether in this life or in the next life. But there's a blessing that comes, and we need to remember that to give as we give willingly and freely, that God gives a blessing with it. All right, now let's all turn to Mark chapter 12 and read some verses there. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Here's the account that I talked about earlier. And Jesus sat over, verse 41 of Mark chapter 12, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And she called unto him, and he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I want to ask you this question as we think about giving willingly and freely. Did this lady, this widow, hold anything back from giving? Even when it hurt, even when it was her living, all that she had, she just gave it in. We tie that in with our number, the second one I have, according to income. How does this apply together? You see the change of attitude when Christ is part of it. This lady wanted to willingly give. She wanted to do something, and that's what she had as a treasury was there. And they were called in those days to put some money in there, and that she did. She had much use for it, but she was willing to give of her living because God's going to care for the widows. There's also another thing I see as I think about these people casting money into the treasury. Verse 41, and the people cast money into the treasury and they're sitting there watching it. And many that were rich cast in much. Now it doesn't say there in my Bible, maybe I'm splitting hairs over something that was not in the original writing, but says many of the rich. Now, did some rich people come through and they didn't drop anything in or dropped in two mites? I don't know, but it says many that were rich cast in much. Maybe there were some rich that didn't put much in. I don't know that. But if a rich man came through and cast in a little, Jesus ignored it. He did not even make a statement about it. But when this woman did, this widow did, he took special notice. Why? Because there's something. She cast in the amount that hurt. Are we willing to do the same? As I think about giving willingly and freely, I think today we too need to give for sure of our wants. Give up some of our wants and place it into the offering basket. Don't let your wants hinder the amount that goes into the offering plate. But can we get to the need? Can we touch the need? You see, we live in a land of ease. And it's hard for us to fathom that. And I'm sharing this because I haven't attained it. We live in such a land of ease. Can we cast in the amount that hurts? Because it's God, and when we serve God and we give of ourselves, we give it willingly and freely. Let's go to the next one, number 4. We give, rules for giving. Give without a big show. Let's turn to Matthew 6. I think we'll just all turn to these last ones. Matthew 6. We know this as the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is talking. So we're going to look at what it can say here about giving without a big show. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Cease reading there. When thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let's keep it not as a big show, as the hypocrites did in the synagogue. Let's not do it as for a big show. And so, why do we sometimes use an envelope system? It's a good way to keep it from a big show. Maybe sometimes our left hand not know what thy right hand doeth. Maybe we could say, we have husband and wife in a relationship. They both can give up of needs and wants for the giving. We don't need to know what the other one's doing to cut corners, to have more to give. But willing to give, not for a big show, but willing to give, not to be seen of men. I'd like to drop out a caution, and I know maybe I'm walking on an area where I personally myself don't know what the Haiti benefit auctions are around here, but I know my dad growing up said, we're not going to the one in Kidron. And I'll just tell you, the explanation my dad gave goes back to this verse. There'd be people would come in there and spend extravagant money on some piece of equipment to turn around and sell it again. Why? Because it made the news. Just caution. Let's do our giving without a big show. All right, let's go to the next one with simplicity. Romans 12, verse 8. But he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Just simply give. Giving simply. Let's go to the sixth one, regularly. And let's turn to that passage there in 1 Corinthians 16. Again, I told you at the start that there's a passage of Scripture that says that we need to do it on the first day of the week. And that's what we're going to turn to right now. If you wonder, children, why we take offering Sunday morning, here's the passage. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He says this, chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Give regularly. When the offering plate comes around Sunday morning, give regularly on the first day of the week as God has blessed you and as you have as he's prospered you. Lay by it. And how do we do it? We give it to the church. We give it to God. It is right to lift an offering on Sunday morning. And it is also right for the church to have a balance in the checkbook for the deacon to use. If you come around to business meeting and Brother Nelson stands up and reads off what the balance is in the checkbook, and you say, well, there's plenty around, we don't need to give anymore, you're wrong. Doesn't affect, what's in the balance in the checkbook should never affect like it does in our daily life. It shouldn't affect what we give Sunday morning. Yeah, there's times when we have maybe a project or something, we give a little more for it. Or maybe it's a school offering versus a general fund or whichever way you want to put it. I think that's okay. But when it comes to giving, we don't ever not give because there's a balance in the checkbook. We give it there because it's what the Lord, it's for the Lord and it's his to give. And as a deacon has the right, when there's a need arises, to distribute it to those in need. Paul's saying here, there should be no gatherings when I come. Don't wait till the last minute and then all of a sudden go start saying, well, I need some money for this. And no, don't let it be gathered when I get there. Have it gathered beforehand. And so we can think about that as we give regularly and give to the Lord. The last one I have, give cheerfully. And that's what we read from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Let's go back and read that again. Last point I have here. Let's start reading at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In this cheerfulness, I see a willingness. I see not grudgingly, not of necessity, not because it's the thing to do, not because a preacher stood up here and said you need to give Sunday morning. Not because the brother beside you might see you not putting an envelope into the offering plate. But we choose. Every man according as he purposeth, and purposeth meaning as he chooses in his heart. What that man chooses to give, it's not for us to decide, but it's he does it cheerfully. That's what God wants. God loves a cheerful giver because that's who God is. God gives cheerfully, he gives willingly, and he doesn't give grudgingly. And so may God help us as we think about this. Let's give cheerfully. Let's give willingly. And the many others that we highlight as scriptural rules for giving. A rich, lavishly dressed lady complained to her psychiatrist that she felt her whole life was empty and had no meaning. She told him she was desperate to find happiness. The psychiatrist contemplated how to help his client and finally decided upon a plan. He arranged a meeting with the old lady who cleaned the office floors and said to the rich lady, I'm going to ask Mary here to tell you how she found happiness. All I want you to do is listen to her. Mary put down her broom, sat on a chair, and told her story. Well, she said, my husband died of malaria. And 3 months later, my only son was killed in a car accident. I had nobody. I had nothing left. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I never smiled at anyone. I even questioned if life was worth living. Then one evening, a little kitten followed me home from work. Somehow I felt sorry for that kitten. It was cold outside, so I decided to let the kitten in. I got it some milk, and the kitten licked the plate clean. Then it purred and rubbed against my leg, and the first time in months, I smiled. When I stopped to think, if helping a little kitten could make me smile, and some of us maybe can relate to this better than others because some people don't like cats, but bear with me on it. Maybe if helping a little kitten could make me smile, maybe doing something for people could make me happy. So the next day I baked some biscuits and took them to a neighbor who was sick in bed. Every day I tried to do something nice for someone. It made me so happy to see them happy. Today, I don't know of anybody who sleeps or eats better than I do. I found happiness by giving it to others. As I listened to Mary's story, the rich lady began to cry. She had everything that money could buy, but she had lost the things that money cannot buy. That day, she determined to change her Christmas shopping list. She remembered the little crippled boy she had seen the other day. She thought of the widow lady living right next door. She contemplated the holiday scene in the home of an elderly couple she had met, whose children were serving as missionaries in a foreign land and would not be able to come home. As the list began to materialize in her mind, a slight smile began to form at the corners of her mouth. Slowly, ever so slowly, it began to broaden. And for the first time in literally months, she experienced the joy of happiness. Standing to her feet, she thanked her counselor, and then turning to Mary, she gave her a hug and said, why don't you come over to my house after you are finished here? And maybe we can work on this together. Happiness is not a destination, it's a journey. And so think about that as you go. You want to be blessed? Give. Acts 20, closing verse. I'm going to turn there yet. I think I told you I was closed already, but let's go there for just a closing verse. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of Lord Jesus, how he said, and remember, this is Jesus quoting, what he's quoting, it is more blessed to give than to receive. May God bless each and every one as we give, as he's prospered us, and as he has given much for us, may we be willing to give to others. Let's kneel for prayer.